Lord. Hallelujah. It's a joy for me to stand before you and to bring the word of the Lord. I feel like somebody has a testimony. I want to give somebody a chance to testify of what the Lord has done. So do we have a testimony in the house? Do you have somebody who can give a testimony, who wants to give a testimony of what the Lord has done? Pastor Francis, you want to give?
Amen. It has been long. Hallelujah. Say hi to your neighbor. Say hi to your neighbor. Are you fearing your neighbor? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm driving from Houston to Dallas. I didn't know that you had sleet. I don't know so whether sleet or snow, name it. On my way, 75 hitting, from 45 hitting 75. I don't know. I'm just driving. All of a sudden, I applied brakes. Excuse me, I'm a Kikuyu from down there. So L and R, they are together, if not cousins. Now, I'm driving slope. Okay, it is down there. If you can remember, if you can see 75, 40, okay, 45, 75. I'm down there. Just applying my brakes this way, I saw my car turning to the other side. I'm facing where I was coming from. I thank God the vehicles were not coming in that speed. I'm facing them now, facing death. Excuse me, am I speaking to somebody here? I'm facing death. Brother Francis is facing death. I heard myself saying, Jesus, 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 my God. Those were the only words that could have come from my mouth. Nothing else. Nothing like my mama. Nothing like my children. Nothing like my church. Nothing, nothing other than Jesus, 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 my God. The Bible says that who shall ever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not out of this mortal body, even out of sins is saved. You shall be saved. Praise the Lord. I was counting and I said, where am I going? Just to see my house here? I'm okay on the other side. Why don't I stay on the other side? Pastor said something that when he was praying, and he said, they have come from far. Okay, from your neighbor, you have a church. Don't you have a neighbor your neighborhood. Don't you have a church there? Aye. There is no church around there. This is why you came all the way looking for a church, because there is nowhere you can get a church. Is that what you are trying to tell me? Amen. All the way from Houston. There is no church. That's what you are trying to tell me. Amen. And you say amen. There are churches in Mega. Tell your neighbor Mega. And I'm here. There is God in heaven. Amen. And there is something touchy. There is something touchy in this church. Oh, yeah. Are you telling your neighbor there is something touchy in this church? It might look small, but there is something. Normally when I'm not here, I go to, there is a church in somewhere. They are calling themselves Exalted Church or something. You just get in there and you say, oh, sure. I wish we would trade. We trade this church and that one, and you see, you see the difference in between. Yeah? The love you have here, I'm telling you, you cannot tell. Let me tell you, one of these fine days, just walk outside there and you see what you'll be missing. Amen. I miss you big. I miss this church big. I miss you people. And I love you. This guy loves you. Amen. I love you and I'll remain loving you. Whether I'm 101 miles, I'll still love you. It was not my time to preach, but here is a preacher. Hallelujah. But let me tell you, I love you. Amen. Whether I'm 101 miles, I still love you and I remain loving you. Maybe the accident didn't occur because maybe of your prayers. Oh God, remember that guy who left us and went to the other side. If you ever prayed, God bless you.
appreciate the Lord for how he rescued Pastor Francis. And we don't take it for granted, man of God, that you drive all the way from Huntsville to come to the church here. Praise the Lord. I'd like to appreciate Pastor Shiko. She is in the house, if I'm seeing her right. Thank you so much. And all of you that have not seen Grace and your family, it's good to see you, all of you. We appreciate the Lord for all of you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Last week we talked about honor. And this week I want to continue with the same subject, but a little bit on another subject that is connected to that. And as I've tarried this last week, and as the week has begun, I mean as the year has begun, there's something that is striking me about authenticity. You know, how we can be real. And it is not a surprise. I don't know whether you're like me, that when you witness how people serve God or how we have been serving God, that there's something that you desire, then you ask yourself, God, how can I be authentic? How can I be approved of God in all that I do? How can I be involved in a team of brothers and sisters and know that whatever we are doing, we are authentic and it is approved of God? Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. I know there are many people that you can watch over the TV, you know, in the name of preachers, and most of them are a blessing. But I think there's something that I've so long desired, even as I've studied the word of the Lord this last week. And I'm asking God, what is it going to take so that when we come to the end of 2017, I'm able to look back, then I'll be able to say, Lord, it was worthwhile serving the Lord, even with the brothers at Empowerment Christian Center. Amen. And we began last week, you know, by checking out and seeing and evaluating how we can honor God in this year. And when the year was almost coming to a close, the Lord spoke to my spirit, and I heard that we needed to honor God, that our lives this year ought to exemplify a life of honoring Him. And just honoring Him is not just coming to church and attending a service, you know, from the time that we begin and we end the service and go home and then we would have qualified to honor God. Honoring God is more than that, as we found out last week. Amen? And I don't want to dwell so much in what we were able to share last week, but this week as I reflected, I heard the Lord speaking to me, how can we get connected to God? Amen? This lifestyle is about connectivity. You know, you read about things that are happening, big companies and enterprises. No longer a company would stand, would operate alone. But there's a new trend of even big companies connecting with each other to boost their productivity. You know, a big company like Apple cannot just, you know, survive alone. It has to partner with other companies that are operating in the same line so that it can boost productivity. And I believe all truth is parallel, because I don't believe, and I strongly believe, that there's no way I can achieve my purpose by myself alone. I need to be connected with somebody. I need to be connected with a brother or a sister in order for that purpose to be realized. Praise the Lord. So life is about connectivity. And when God created us, God never created us to be an island. You cannot survive by yourself. And if you see somebody who is a loner or somebody who is so independent, there's so many things that are going through that person, and there's a cry from inside out of such a person crying out for connectivity. Amen? So there's something wrong when you find somebody just being alone and want to do things by themselves. And I believe that in the year 2017, God is ringing the bells of reminding us that we need to be connected with Him. Amen? Praise the Lord. We need to be connected with God. And in the Bible, there are so many things that talks about how we are connected with God. The relationship that we have with God is so unique and is so special. As a matter of fact, there's no relationship here on earth that can be compared with the relationship that exists between us and God. Amen? It is such intricate, it's so intense, that if God would open our inner eyes and see the kind of love that God has for each one of us, we will all be drawn to Him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But you know, even our limitedness as human beings, God throws out a certain metaphors or imagery that will teach us how we are connected to Him, or kind of exemplify the kind of relationship that exists between us. Now, before we dwell in that, there are certain things that the Lord tells us in His Word that tells us, or rather speaks about our connectivity with Him. He talks of Himself as the King, praise the Lord, and we are the subjects. He talks of Himself as the Shepherd, and we are, come on now, we better flow together. And we are the what? And we are the sheep. The Bible also talks of the Jesus talks of Himself as the head, and we are the body. Praise the Lord. We are the body of Christ. He is the head, and we are the body. In other words, the Lord is trying to tell us that there's a connectivity that exists between us and Him. There's no way we can live on this life and expect to be fruitful or productive if we are not, we don't come to that conclusion and the reality that God expects us to be connected with Him. Praise the Lord. Now, in the Bible, in the book of Romans, chapter number 12, verse number 5, I don't want us to go there, but these are the things that we are gonna be looking out in the probably today and in this coming week. The Lord talks about us as a building. Praise the Lord. Also, the Bible in the book of Romans and elsewhere, the Bible talks about our connectivity with God and equates us as the body of Christ. Amen. We want to find out what it signifies when the Lord says that we are the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. The Lord also puts out an imagery to kind of describe our relationship with Him as a relationship between a vine and a plant. You know, the vine and the branches, and there's a vine dresser. And that is what I want us to focus on today. And our scripture is going to come from the book of John, chapter number 15. And we are going to read a few verses. Amen. The relationship that exists between us and God cannot be compared with a relationship between two great friends. It is more intense. It is more great than that. The relationship that exists between us and God cannot be compared to two people who are in love. It is more intensive. And though we can draw similarities from that kind of a relationship, our relationship between us and our God is more than a relationship between a father and a son or a daughter. Even though we can draw conclusions and a few similarities between those relationships that we have talked about, praise the Lord. So let us go together in the book of John 15, and I know this is a very familiar portion of scripture, but there are several wonderful things that we can pull out of this chapter that are going to be helpful in our understanding about what God really intends for us to be connected to Him, and in order for us to be productive, to be progressive, to be fruitful, even in the year 2017. Somebody say amen. Amen. John 15, if you're there, can you say amen? If you don't have a Bible, you don't have to worry about it, because our sister Lorraine is going to throw those scriptures up there, and so that we can follow together. I'd like to for us to be attentive in the next few minutes, and I know that the Lord is going to bless us. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in the book of John, chapter number 15, that I am the true vine. Somebody say true vine. The Bible doesn't say that He is a vine, but He says He is the true vine. And my Father is the gardener, or He is the vine dresser, or He is the husbandman. He cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit. And He trims and cleans every branch that produces fruit, so that it will produce even more fruit. You are already clean because of the words I have spoken to you. The Bible says in verse number 4, remain in me and I will remain in you. A branch cannot produce fruit alone, but must remain in the vine. And in the same way, You cannot produce fruit alone, but must remain in me. Verse number 5. I am the vine and you are the branches. If any remain in me and I remain in them, they produce much fruit. Somebody say much fruit. But without me, they can do nothing. If any do not remain in me, they are like a branch that is thrown away and then dies. People pick up dead branches, throw them into the fire and burn them. If you remain in me and follow my teachings, you can ask anything you want. I love that. You can ask anything you want and it will be given you. You should produce much fruit and show that you are my followers, which brings glory to my Father. I loved you as the Father loved me. Now remain in my love. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you read the remaining verses of chapter number 15, it just talks about connectivity. Amen. I just love how it begins, you know, by saying that the Lord is the true vine. Praise the Lord. He is the true vine. Now, it will be very, very difficult for us to understand about grapevines and the tending of grapes and vines if we do not have a little bit history about vines. You know, back in the day in Israel, the vine was not just an annual crop. And most of us know what an annual crop is. You know, we come from an agricultural nation whereby we sow seeds. And we know that a land has to be prepared in order for those seeds to be put in the ground. And within our time, you know, the seeds shoot up and they begin to grow. I've never witnessed any farmer where I've come from who tends for each and a particular plant. Like, for example, if you're sowing in corn or maize, I have never seen a farmer who comes and examines, you know, each and individual seedlings that comes off the ground. But they tend for those plants corporately. In other words, they make sure that they have cultivated and they have taken care of the weeds and they have used the pesticides and they have, in other words, they have assisted in making the necessary conditions for those plants to grow. And eventually those plants grow and they are able to be harvested and the farmer is happy and puts those, the harvest into their store or they sell them or they do whatever they do with the product or the harvest. But it is different with a vine. You know, in the olden times, back in Israel, a vineyard contained a number of vines. And these vines, you know, they once they were sown into the ground, they were producing grapes every year. Praise the Lord. Productivity never ceased. Productivity was only interrupted by the seasons that are there, the winter and the summer. You know, right now during winter, the flowers that we normally enjoy during spring are all dried up. And in fact, if you can look at a plant that usually blooms up during spring, you'd even wonder whether that plant will be the same plant that would yield up beautiful flowers for us to enjoy. And this is what happens also to the vines. There are certain times during the year when there's no productivity to the vines. And so it would be the work of the vine dresser to make sure during the dormant period that he would come and tend for the vines. Praise the Lord. And so what it talks about, you know, what a vine dresser does or what a gardener does or what a husband does is that he comes and takes care of an individual vine. They know the character. If a vine dresser has about two vines in his vineyard, he knows each and every vine in person. You know, he comes and tends it. And year after year, he's acquainted with different vines and their characteristics and how they respond to different elements and how they respond even to fertilizer, how they respond even to mulching, how they respond even to, and even the productivity. Every vine produces a certain quality and a certain amount of grapes. And so it is imperative for a gardener to understand each and every vine. Praise the Lord. Amen. That is the work of a... In fact, you can come to a gardener at any time and he can explain to you that vine say that he gives them names. Vine number one does this during the year. And I have to trim it. I have to do X, Y, and Z to this vine as opposed to what I do to vine number three. He knows them by person. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And now, before we progress, I'd ask Sister Lorraine to show us just a small clip of how a vine is trimmed, you know, and what it is involved in trimming of a vine. Praise the Lord. And if you can, please, can take a short clip about 3 minutes.
Prepare in the late winter season some pruning and also a little bit about how to train these plants. But this is a four-year-old grapevine here. We've trained the primary shoot nicely, so your planting would be here. You have that cane coming up and it would break a shoot, and you want to train that like here. And for a single curtain system, we look at this vine, which is really a nice training system for production. It's really good productivity. We took one shoot, trained in one direction here for this top wire, and the other direction. Two, and our skulls are on the top wire. Pulling your hands, the last growth on it, which is two shoots that are broken. The shoots are broken. You can see them. If you look at that, it's going to be flowers off of that wearable form is on that new shoot coming off of it. So for pruning, if you look along this curtain here, we have a number of those that have come off last season. And really, we only want two or three shoots to break off of the top. So a pruning approach here, just another bud on the other side, and here's a third, but I'm just gonna leave two there. So we're gonna trim this back. See a nice, vibrant green tissue there, and we have a couple of buds. And so we wanna do that all along this curtain here, is to take these canes from last season back to the goal here. And these low growing buds, the shoot here is growing low and underneath it's going to be the canopy the whole time. That's not doing it. And here we have a couple of others that are a little dieback. And on the back side here doing the same thing. So we're going to continue to do that. It's not really where I want it to be. On hold, this curtain, we've taken these back, two, three buds, and we'll show it in another video, and you'll be a flower bud off of those, so you're not a flower bud where your clusters will be. And then in another video, we'll talk a little bit about fruit thinning clusters, so you get massive trays, balance the crop load on this vine, and those will be some nice points to look for on some later videos. Thanks for joining us.
Praise the Lord. You know, the one and the most interesting thing about vines is that they don't look so presentable, especially at the dormant season. Now, the guy that you saw up there represents our father. Okay, that's not part of the service, so. what I was telling you is the man, you see, he is very articulate. And he is, I was watching a series of some videos about how they trim the grapes, the grapevines. And the gardener is very particular where he is going to trim the branch to maximize the productivity. Amen? Remember, the end goal of this gentleman here, who is, I would call him the vine dresser, the end goal is productivity. He wants not only to get quality grapes. In fact, I saw that whenever, if they don't trim the vines, they are going to produce vines that are so heavy, and they're going to be salty. I even didn't realize that they can be salty. So in order for grapes to be sweet, they have to minimize and to have exactly the number of buds that are going to bud and produce grapes so that they can be tasty when you buy them from the shelf. You know, sometimes when you buy those grapes from Walmart or from whatever store you buy them from, you don't even realize the work that has been taken, The Bible talks about him as the gardener. He is the one who is responsible to come and examine. Note, number one, first of all, that the Lord the Father, who is the gardener or the vine dresser, doesn't concern himself about the vine. But what he is concerned about are the branches that are connected to the vines. Praise the Lord. Remember when we first read the Bible, chapter number 15, the Bible calls Jesus himself the true vine. In other words, he is well established to transmit whatever is necessary to the branches so that they can be productive. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so the Bible calls the Father the gardener. He is the one who knows the personality of each and every vine. And as I told you, different vines produce different varieties of grapes, and they produce differently. They respond differently to pesticides or to fertilizer or to elements that have to be incorporated towards the production of the grapes. And so it is the responsibility of the gardener to understand how every vine is going to respond, praise the Lord. How every branch within the vine is going to respond, praise the Lord. And how amazing is it to know that the Father deals with us differently. The Lord doesn't deal with me the way he deals with you, Shiko. The Lord will come to me and he knows my personality. Hallelujah. And you know what? The end goal of this process, of this connectivity, the end goal is production. The end goal is fruitfulness. Praise be to Jesus. May our connections bear fruit. Praise the Lord. And he says that every branch that is connected to the vine has the potential and the propensity to produce fruits. Praise the Lord. You know what? Sometimes I was thinking about this when I was reading about this, how sometimes we work so hard and we spend some effort and we think in our mind that we have to work extra hard in order to produce fruit, but all that we need to do is be connected to the vine. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because when we are connected to the vine, and the Father being the gardener, he will come and take the responsibility to prune us up and to prepare us up, because he knows that as long as we are connected to the vine, there's going to be productivity. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And let me tell you, church, in the year 2017, when we determine to honor God, and when we determine to know that we ought to be connected to him, it shall not be a struggle for us to produce much fruit. Because in order for us to produce much fruit, all we have to do is stay in place within the vine and all the necessary conditions being met, then there is no alternative other than just being productive and being fruitful. Praise the Lord. You may hear this from another person or from other places, that you have to work and you have to toil. But according to this scripture, all we have to do, let me tell you, church, you know what? The Lord tells us that we ought to prosper even as our souls prospereth. In the Bible tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. The secret to productivity, the secret to be fruitful, the secret to any success is being connected to the vine. Hallelujah. And our Father, who is our God, is so keen, and he visits this vineyard every single day. He visits this vineyard every single minute, and he knows the vines and their personalities. God visits you every morning. Before you even wake up, God is knocking on your alarm. You know, sometimes we think that our alarm clocks wakes us up. No, but it is God who wakes us up, and he tells us that I'm ready to work on you so that you can be productive. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The whole idea of us having a relationship with God is so that we may be fruitful, is that we may be productive. Because when we are fruitful, according to the word of God, it says, it brings glory to God. Hallelujah. Whenever you are fruitful, when God in heaven, when the Bible says that his eyes range out throughout the face of the earth, and when he sees and meets people, his children who are well connected to him, he is able to brag and he is able to show off and say, This is my son. Hallelujah. Many people sometimes may have weighed you down because of where you came from. Or when you look at yourself, sometimes you don't have any self-confidence that you can make it. Or when you think about the immense responsibility that God wants to give you so that you can accomplish His purpose, and you look at the anything that would contribute towards you fulfilling His design and His purpose, you are able to surrender and say, I cannot make it. But you know what? Yes, you cannot make it by yourself. The Bible tells us that without Him, we can do nothing. Hallelujah. Without Him, Brother James, you cannot do anything. Without you, you cannot go anywhere. Without His help, you could never be in the United States of America. Without you could never be having the job that you have. Without Him, you could not be having the gift that you have. Without Him, you would never have the personality that you have. It is because of Him that we are, praise the Lord. And no wonder the Bible says that in Him we move and we have, and we are able to do His perfect will. In Him we move. Glory be to Jesus. It is because of Him. Praise the Lord. It is the responsibility of the gardener to know what you need. Let me tell you, sometimes pruning, if these vines would speak of themselves, the process of pruning is not pain-free. Because what you saw, whatever branch produced grapes for the last year, it had elongated itself. It had several buds. If that were allowed to continue, then it would be so heavy on the branches that some of them will start to break down. Praise the Lord. What that tells me is that the blessings of 2017 are not the same as the blessing of 2016. God has something special for you. Praise the Lord. Whatever God allowed you to accomplish in the year 2016 is just a foreshadow of what God will do in the year 2017. Hallelujah. The blessings of yesterday are different from the blessings of today, and they are different from the blessings of tomorrow. And what God wants us is just to be connected to Him and just allow ourselves to be pruned by the gardener, because He understands what is better for you. He understands what is better for me. He understands what is going to take in order for me to be fruitful. For it is important for us to surrender before the Almighty God. And as we go to Him every day, ask Him, Lord, I surrender to You. What area of my life need to be pruned? Because He knows that once He prunes, the area of your pruning, my brother, will result in you yielding my fruit. Amen? But sometimes we are so hesitant. When the Lord wants to prune us, we want to pull away. But yet we know that as we pull away, we are pulling away from greater blessing. When the Lord wants to bring us to Him, it is a way of pruning and telling us, my son, I know that what you're going is going to lead and coming out of you. When you go, it may not really look good according to your eyes, but I'm calling you to walk on this path, because as you lead towards the path that I'm leading you into, there will be greater blessings ahead of you. Praise the Lord. Not everything that you see greedily is good for you. Amen? Are you together? And in the year 2017, I hear the Spirit of the Lord speaking to my spirit that it's going to be a different year for different individuals who choose to abide in the vine. Who choose to abide in the vine. Hallelujah. And I choose in the year 2017. You know what? This is going to be a different year, not only for my life, but even all of us. We need to be involved in other activities that will bring glory to God. Amen? How many of you would be tired just for status quo? That what you do every day, you know, it's so repetitive, so usual, and so mundane, so that you can also not happen tomorrow, because you are so used to a lifestyle that a single day I wake up to this, and I do this, and I do the other, and I do the other. I don't believe that God is a God of mundanity. I don't believe that God is a God of the usual. He wants us to step out into other areas of operation. Amen? This week I was researching and I was seeing many other ministries that do things out there, you know, digging up boreholes and just distributing the gospel, you know, to the remote parts of the earth, you know. And I see You know, sometimes you are close in a capsule and in a comfort zone. It's very easy to just see the things that we usually see, you know. When we come here, we do a worship song and we do a praise song, and Sister Purity is going to be here, and Ben and Catherine is going to be here. We lead into our worship and we hear the word and we go and have fellowship with one another. Boom, and we go home and we repeat, you know, it's throughout the year. I strongly believe that God has us in himself for greater experience in 2017. Amen. I dare for us to do different things. I dare for us to do different things, because when we are grafted in God, there is unlimitedness. We have tapped into unlimitedness. And many times we limit God. It's like we draw out a chart of how God is going to operate in my life. Are you listening to me? And you know what, I'm speaking to myself as well. Sometimes we draw a map and a blueprint about how we think God is going to operate in us in the year 2017, based on knowledge, based on our wisdom. But the moment that we know that we are engrafted and that we are hooked up to unlimitedness, chochote chaweza kutokea. Say to yourself, to your neighbor, chochote chaweza kutokea. Then what that means, Sister Lorraine, it means anything can happen. Anytime, whenever you're connected to this Almighty God. Amen? Yeah, let me tell you, when you are connected to the vine, when we are connected, oh Jesus, when we are connected to this vine in 2007, it will not be unusual for you to receive a phone call telling you, you know, I've been thinking about you, sister, and I've been thinking about this position, and I've been thinking about this business. Would you be interested? Hallelujah. Would you be interested? I've been thinking about this mission. I've been thinking about this area of operation. And when I thought about it, you came to mind. Those are the things that I'm talking about. That when we are connected to the unlimitedness, that things are just beginning to pop up. But you know what? Things are not going to happen if we don't have a sense of expectation. You know, expectation brings forth things that are uncommon. If we just expect that tomorrow I will wake up and I'll make a cup of tea and make a toast to my eye, and that is what I do every day, that is what you're going to receive. But when we wake up knowing that I'm engrafted to unlimitedness, I'll be alert and I'll pull up my antennas, because anything can happen. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. Knowing that anything can happen. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, I'm believing God. That in this year, that some of you are going to call me and tell me, Pastor, what you told us in the year to the beginning of 2017, that we are grafted and I've been expecting for the extraordinary. That miracles will line up coming to find me. Listen, man, let me tell you. You know, there are preachers who talk these things, you know, like just the talk of talking. But you know what? This is another paradigm level whereby you know that when you're connected to unlimitedness, things that are not coming. Oh, to unlimitedness. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. The Bible says, remain in me and I will remain in you. A branch that cannot produce fruit alone must remain in the vine. And in the same way, you cannot produce a fruit alone, but you must remain in me. Praise the Lord. I am the vine and you are the branches. The gardener takes care of the branches. It is his business to know how the vine is going to get all its productivity. And you know, Jesus himself, the true vine. And you know what? It is the branches that produce fruits. It is not the vine that produces fruits. We are engrafted and we are connected to the vine, who is Jesus. And when we are connected to Jesus, the work of the branches is to be fruitful. And who is the branches? Who is the branches? Who is the branch? We are. Any born again Christian who is solidly been and is born again, he is the branch and he is grafted into the vine. Hallelujah. Oh God, I want you to know that in the year 2017, we cannot operate independently. We have to be connected with one another, as we shall see when we shall be looking at the body, how the body is connected. But this time God wants to exemplify, or just to draw a parallel out of the relationship between the vine, the branches,
Praise the Lord. See the ear. God has known what kicks you, what causes you to, you know, if I can push Pastor Francis just a little bit, if I can take him to Huntsville, I can tweak him a little bit and he is going to be productive. If I can just line up Sister Rachel to the women's meeting and cause her to be productive in that area, God is going to cause you to be so much productive when people who know you years before, when they come and meet with you, they wonder, what happened to Rachel? Because you're so blossoming, you're brilliant, and you're just sharing the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know what makes us not even share the word of the Lord? You know, sometimes, I don't know whether you've been there, just like me, sometimes you feel, I need to share this gospel with this person. But you feel like you're intimidated by their presence. You're intimidated, you know, even you don't even know where to begin. Are they going to reject you? Let me tell you, church, if we are consistently engrafted in the vine, you know what we'll be sucking up from the vine. The vitality, the confidence, the boldness to say whatever God allows you to say. Show me somebody who is intimidated. Show me, and I'll show you somebody who is being walked on by the vine. But slowly that person gains the boldness of a lion. Have you ever seen people who get born again? And slowly continue to read the word of God. And as they continue to read, and as they continue to get encouraged, they might come here. And you wonder where they got that boldness. Told you when I started preaching, I couldn't even stand before people. I would stand and my knees would knock and I would feel some other things in my body. Just like most of you, when I ask you to give a testimony, sometimes you say, Pastor, not today. Can you please tell me in advance so that I can prepare? What are you preparing for? If God has done it for you and you are grafted in the vine, you know what? Sometimes you have to chase away that fear and you say, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to stand there. And you know that, let me give you a quick look at the clock and say, Jesus did it for me. Amen. You know what? When I'm saying like this, strange things I'm looking at her, but I'm looking at the clock. Jesus came through for me. If you can't, some preachers say that you fake it until you make it. But when you are connected to the vine, my whole idea is slowly by slowly. You may have started, you didn't know how to pray. And you went to pray. 3 minutes were enough. You went to Akesha and 3 minutes you prayed and you wondered, why are all these people are praying for? They're really kneeling down and they are really crying and calling upon them. What have they been telling God about? Remember the first Akesha that I went, there were some very, they call them the prayer warriors. And you see these brothers, they are going, Ramashanamanana. Doing this, like, you know, for an hour, the guy is just doing this. And I came 5 minutes, it's like I told God everything I needed to tell him. You know, but these guys are still going, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. And they are binding, and I was like, what problems these guys have? But slowly I've learned that when you're connected to the vine, it is not you who operates at the time of prayer. It's that the Spirit of God energizes you. And you're able to penetrate even to the high places, pulling down every stronghold. And you just remember, you know, you just realize that you are given for prayer on a Friday. And you wonder, I wish we had a whole night. Because I would tarry in the presence of the Lord. Why? Because you are grafted in, my sister. You are grafted in, my brother. Chochote chawe kutokea. When you're grafted in the vine. Amen. The secret in 2017, my brothers and my beloved sisters, is to be connected. Do not allow yourself to stray away. Hallelujah. There is a temptation when you have achieved a certain accomplishment. You know? When you have, you know, there are people, God has so blessed them, Pastor Francis, when they are told, when they're told, oh, you're going to minister to us. The word is really there. They don't even need to pray. They can stand here and speak. And you still are going to be blessed. But I don't want to be in that kind of a category whereby I'm so used to what I can do. Because, you know, per adventure that I'm going to stand here and speak out of my mind. but I wanted to tarry before the presence of the Lord. Oh, give me some few minutes, my brother. I need to go to the closet and I need to inquire of the Lord what he would want to have me to say in front of these children, because they are unique and peculiar. I don't want to just babble something out of my mind. Give me some time. I don't want to get used to the presence of the Lord, Albert. It is so used to when you have victories and you tend to think, you know what? I'll be like him, Nebuchadnezzar, who, well, after the Lord has energized and favored him so much, he looked at the Babylon and said, is this not the Babylon? Oh my God. And how many times we do that sometimes to ourselves too. Is this not the Babylon that I built for my own self and for my own glory? And you know what happened? I don't need to tell you the events of what happened after he said that. Because God withdrew his identity from him. And he started crawling like an animal. He developed feathers. And he lived in the wilderness for a number of years before he acknowledged the name of God as the name of Jehovah. I don't want to feel like I have this superpower that I can stand here and I don't even need to open up the Bible. I don't even need to study to come and preach and to speak the word of the Lord. No, I don't want to get used to that point, because it's a tendency to think that you can make it by yourself. You can be detached from the vine without even knowing. And let me tell you, it is only a question of time. When you see somebody who has trusted his own understanding and thinking that he can make it by his own strength, the fruits you might be seeing a fruit that looks like authentic fruit, not an authentic fruit. If you bite on it, you realize this is not grapes, but this is something else. It is an artificial fruit. But I want to produce fruits that are authentic, because the fruits that will be produced, the parent of the derivative of the grapes that you eat from me will have come from the vine itself. And the vine is Jesus. When they start eating those fruits, they will be wanting to come for some more. What is this that makes me every time to want to talk to Brother James? Every time I'm discouraged, this is the go-to brother. I don't know what happens. There are many other brothers, but I feel that he is the go-to brother because he speaks. Oh my God. When I speak to Sister So-and-so, when I speak to Pastor Shiko, every time I want to call her when I'm down, but something that you have not realized, that this beloved sister is hooked up to the vine. And what you are feeding off of her is coming from Jesus himself. No wonder every time. No wonder the words of his conversation seem so sweet every single moment, because those are not his words, but the words of Jesus himself. Glory be to Jesus. Being connected to the vine. I don't want to be independent and think that I can make it. Hallelujah. And it says somewhere, like, you know, let me tell you this, and I'm almost concluding, that if you disconnect, if you cut the most beautiful branch from a vine, it doesn't matter how strong, it doesn't matter how many buds it has in order to flower and produce grapes, and you weakling one, it is all the same. If you cut a most beautiful and handsome branch out of the vine, and you cut the most ugliest branch to be disconnected from the vine, they are all the same. Why? Because they have been detached from the vine. They have been detached from the vine. So it is easy to see somebody who is so glorious, and you think, let me tell you, church, can I tell you something, Empowerment Christian Center family? And I know some of you may not agree with me. Before you yield yourself to any authority or any people who call them the men of God, you have to test them. Are you listening to me? Because not everybody who calls upon the name of the Lord, or not everybody who calls themselves so and so, have an authentic spirit among them. They may have been used to operate in the power, but because of thinking that they can operate independently, they disconnected themselves from the vine. Amen? If the Spirit of the living God dwells in us, we'll be able to identify with the authentic men of God, authentic sisters and brothers. Not every brother calls himself a brother in Christ is a genuine brother. Not everybody who calls them a sister in the Lord and can give a long testimony may necessarily be a sister in the Lord. And some of those people, it's because they disconnected themselves, but they are still. Have you ever seen the weeds that grow? They grow within the genuine plants and kind of camouflage, and you cannot even you cannot notice the genuine flower from the counterfeit. There's a the root to that weed is different from the genuine root of the real plant, but they are grown together. The Lord and give us the spirit of discernment to identify the actual plant that is required. Amen. My warning us is do not disconnect the vine. The brother who is connected to the vine, you will know. And there are lots of them. The church is full of them, brothers and sisters who are connected to the vine. Amen. You heard about the preachers back in Kenya called the Kanyaris who would fake miracles. When they began well. But as they continued, they detached themselves from the vine. And when they would do things, think God would move. But one time it happened, they realized, I can do this by myself. And they disconnected themselves from the vine. Amen. It is a dangerous thing to disconnect yourself from the vine. Because sooner or later, it is only a question of time that the other branches will be seen producing because they are still connected. And yours, itakuwa imeanza kufa. It is dried up. And then you realize, oh, goodness. So this was disconnected a long time ago. But my prayer is that we are going to be connected in 2017. No matter what. Amen. No matter the challenges. No matter the afflictions. You know what? Many are the afflictions of a child of God. Amen. And many of those afflictions wants to come and detach you from the vine. It is so intense sometimes you feel, am I going to take it anymore? But you know that I'm still going to be connected to the vine. The Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them in all of them. A righteous person may fall down 7, but the Lord's energy and strength makes him to rise up in every single moment. Let me tell you, you better endure the hardship. And sometimes you feel like, it's only my leg that is really connected. It is still good because your body is still connected to the vine. When it is no, you cannot go. You have to connect it to the vine. And as you resist, he is going to flee from you. Amen. In 2015, we are not going to do things by ourselves. The things that we are planning for the year will call for the participation of each and every one of us. Amen. How about having a family retreat? How about having a women's retreat or a men's adventure or a youth camp somewhere in 2017. I dare us to do things differently. Let our giving be differently because we are engrafted in the vine. If God has endowed with a gift in 2017, let it blossom. Amen. There are many that God are going to be called to come and minister to us here on this pulpit. You know what? Prepare yourself. Prepare, ready yourself because God is going to use you. Amen. God is going to call to serve in different ministries. Amen. Please come out of your hiding place because God is getting ready to show up who he has made you to be. Amen. And you stand to be a candidate. Get connected to the vine. Shall we stand on our feet, please? Amen. Amen. It is a year where we honor God, and as we honor God, we are going to be connected to him. Amen. Hallelujah. I'd written some few things here. And before we close, I think I'm going to mention them. Sometimes you might think that to be full is to have so many. I'm not against so many people in a church. It is good. It is a blessing. But how many of you know that you can have so many people in the church, but they are not fruitful? Success is not measured, or fruitfulness is not measured by the outside appearance. Amen? That is not being fruitful. You know, I can come and charge you and be motivational to you as much as possible. And you know, I excite you and you respond mightily. But that does not make me fruitful. Amen? Fruitfulness can only come when we are connected to the vine. When you're connected to the vine, you don't need even to be reminded about a prayer meeting. When you're connected to the vine, you don't even to be reminded about the weekly meetings that we have, you know, like the cell group meetings. You feel the desire because God is compelling you to go. When you're connected to the vine, some of the things that you are reminded, you will not be reminded. Amen? Because you're connected to the vine. And in this church, we may not be many, but we want to be fruitful. We want to be fruitful. We want, when people look at us, they will look at us as Christians, as the people of Antioch. When they looked at them, they said, "Aya, these look just like Christ." Because their character had completely been turned upside down, and it was the character of Christ. It can happen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are grateful. We are honored to be in your house today. Thank you for the lives of each and every one of us, O God. And I pray that nothing on earth is going to detach us from being connected to the vine. I pray for every sister. And I pray for every brother. I pray for every child, O Lord, that together we shall compel each other and encourage each other to be connected to the vine. That when I see any one of us, that the words of my mouth, Father, will be to encourage them to stay in the vine. Because we know the product of being connected in the vine that we shall produce. That's the only thing we need to do. Being connected in the vine, we have then the potential to produce fruit. And I pray that we shall be productive, each one of us, O Lord. And that people will come from many places, Father, to want to eat that which you produce in the name of Jesus. I pray that we shall be authentic believers. We shall be men and women of integrity. And that, Father, we shall be the carriers of the burden of one another in the name of Jesus. Father, I take power and authority over schemes of darkness, over perpetrations of the evil one, Lord, into the livelihoods of each and every one of us. And I render them powerless in the name of Jesus. Father, I declare that none of us will be detached from the vine in the name of the Lord. And that we shall be dependable. We shall be brothers that we can rely upon. We shall be the crying shoulders of one another in the name of Jesus. Father, we shall think good thoughts about each other. And we shall regard each one highly than ourselves. And in so doing, Lord God, you shall be glorified. Father, I thank you and I bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Can you appreciate the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.